Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Historian Steve Shields has said that Sidney Rigdon's role in the Restoration is unsung amongst both the LDS and RLDS churches. In fact, he says that it should be called the Smith-Rigdon Movement. So we'll talk a little bit more to Steve here in just a moment. I hope you check out our conversation. Hey, today it's 12 days before Christmas, and so what I'd like to do is to kick off a special thing. First of all, I'd like to thank some of you, especially like Steve and Ed recently, that have sent me an email. I really appreciate that. I know my website's had a little trouble this week. I was force upgraded by WordPress, and it hasn't been pretty, but it's kind of functional. However, my donation and subscribe buttons are not working at the moment. So if you're interested in a one-time donation, just send me a PayPal donation to gospeltangents@gmail.com. Of course, you can also email me there. And also, this since we're 12 days before Christmas, for the next 12 days, we're going to have a special sale on our Amazon. So if you're interested in some of these transcripts, like Dory Olds, my most recent one, and I'm going to have Kurt Frankum up here this week, I promise. Those are going to be half off until Christmas. So get your transcripts now. Just go to Amazon.com, do a quick search for Gospel Tangents. If you're watching on my YouTube page, here's a link. So you can check out, I probably have more than half of them on for half off. So just $6 for some of these transcripts. So anyway, Merry Christmas, and now back to our conversation. Well, let's jump back into Divergent Paths. So one of the things that I noticed was, this was kind of interesting to me. I think in section one it said that there were churches that broke off, I can't remember, it was 1830 or 1831, as early as 1831.
Oh, right, yeah, very early, yeah.
And maybe I shouldn't call them churches, but there were...
There were a couple that were,
okay,
and several who weren't necessarily a church, but an expression.
Okay.
And that's a new terminology that I've concocted,
okay,
to try and deal with the broad nature of what... If I limited it just to churches, that actually may be a better way to do it. It'd be a lot smaller book. But a lot of them are proto-churches. You know, they end up developing into something else. Uh-huh. And so in those early years, especially the first year in Kirtland, there were... You had the 100 or so that were Joseph Smith followers merging into about 1,000 Sidney Rigdon followers. And Sidney Rigdon, his hallmark was communal lifestyle, communitarianism. Joseph Smith and his folks were really into the spiritual stuff, angels and visions and that kind of thing. That all merged at Kirtland, and the idea that, you know, revelation wasn't restrictive. So suddenly you've got Hiram Page giving revelations. Then you had Laura Hubble, who was a Kirtland person, an Ohio person, not an original New York person, New York, Pennsylvania person. She started having all kinds of spiritual experiences and manifestations, and there was just this outpouring of charismata. And it was just getting out of hand. So Joseph then has a revelation, and I can't think of I'm not a good number and verse person, but it's in the Doctrine and Covenants. Said, only the prophet, president of the church, can receive revelation for the church. And so that spiritual element started getting quashed early on. And so that almost Pentecostal type stuff quickly fades out. Staker's book on the Kirtland era, he's done some wonderful writing and research, mm-hmm, on that era, and just really explains that well. It's a fantastic book.
Yeah, he was one of my first interviews.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the things he told me, which kind of blew me away, was that he felt like the speaking in tongues was started by a former slave, Black Pete.
Black Pete was one. Black Pete was really big on the talking in tongues.
That was fantastic. I was just like, are you kidding me? That's cool.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it was just a whole variety of outpouring. And then you did have the Warren Parish group that did form a Church of Christ in response to the Kirtland Bank failure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't just, it was not an economic church. They'd lost faith in Joseph Smith's prophetic ability completely. And you see several of that Warren Parish party crop up later on after the Nauvoo era, you know, trying to start other churches of Christ and whatever. They believed in a lot of the stuff that was going on, but without Joseph Smith. They'd lost faith in his ability to lead. And the bank failure was devastating to almost everybody in the church at the time. They lost their whole fortunes, such as they were. Joseph Smith had put God's blessing on the bank. And they didn't believe God failed. They believed Joseph Smith lied. You know, very simply put. It's always a complex thing with people.
Right.
And it's not usually just one thing, but a connection with all kinds of things that go on. Yeah. So there were. And that, so that the era of Joseph Smith's administration has a dozen or more examples of things that were tangential to the mainstream, what I call the original church.
Right.
So
and none of those expressions are around today.
No, none of them lasted more than a year, probably.
Right.
Months at best. They didn't have a charismatic leader. And Sidney Rigdon and Joseph Smith both were charismatic leaders. Smith with the spiritual element of things and Rigdon with the oratorical side of things. And, Rigdon had almost 1,000 followers that they'd separated from Alexander Campbell over the summer of 1830. And so in the Kirtland area, there were about 1,000. I don't even know if they really worried about a name. Church of Christ would have been common to anybody, probably.
Right.
One thing that gets forgotten about Rigdon is that Parley Pratt, Orson Pratt, and Edward Partridge, if I'm remembering, they were all disciples of Rigdon. In fact, Orson and Parley were being trained for ministry by Rigdon.
Oh.
That's not been dealt with in the histories of the LDS Church or even the RLDS Church. We've washed Rigdon out because of what he did later.
Right.
And so we never bring up those.
But we talk about Orson and Parley because they were kind of the theologians who took over, really.
But because they were trained by Rigdon to be theologically oriented.
Wow.
You know, they had all their training under Rigdon.
Wow. I did not know that.
They were his disciples in the academic sense. They did not see Rigdon as a prophet. He was just the best educated minister, and he was training younger men to also be ministers. So when Parley P. Pratt brings the Book of Mormon back to Rigdon, it's not just a knock on the door, oh, hi, we're Mormon missionaries. Have you ever read the Book of Mormon? They knew each other. And, part of the conversation probably went like, oh, Brother Rigdon, guess what? I've met this guy in New York, and here's what he has. And Rigdon, of course, at the beginning says, oh, come on. Then he says, well, okay, I'll read the book because it's you, Parley, not because I'm interested in this guy.
Right.
And he reads the book, and he says, wow, yeah, and causes a little bit of disruption in his own community because of it. But eventually, the Rigdon followers outnumbered the Smith followers, 5-6 to 1.
Oh, wow.
And so I argue it really ought to be called the Smith-Rigdon movement rather than the Latter-day Saint movement, because in the beginning, the word Latter-day Saint wasn't even there.
Oh.
Right. And it was Rigdon who came up with that.
Oh, it was?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
1834, Rigdon announces that the church will now be called the Church of the Latter-day Saints.
Yeah. I knew they had changed the name, but I didn't know Rigdon was the highest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I think this stuff is fun. I don't think it damages faith at all to see these folks as real people.
Yeah.
Who were influenced by on health issues by Samuel Graham, you know, who said, you know, strong drink isn't really good for you. Hot drinks aren't really good for you. Does that sound familiar? Well, I don't think it diminishes Joseph Smith at all for saying, hey, you know, I've gone to prayer on this and, you know, my understanding, well, I take a different view of Revelation. That's kind of hard to get through, but my view is that, you know, I went to God on this and I feel like God is saying thus. Now, in the more conservative view is that God just dictated all that stuff to Joseph, but the societal influences can't, you know, it doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't find that damaging to faith at all. You know, I'd rather have the skeletons out of the closet than to let people be shaken by stuff that, you know, 100 years after the fact, somebody comes along, like Gerald and Sandra Tanner, and I don't say this in a demeaning way at all, say, hey, wait a minute, folks. What about the skeleton here? You know, let's deal with it. So I really appreciate what's been happening under Elder Jensen and now Elder Snow in the LDS History Department, where they're pushing hard to, you know, let's shake out those skeletons and let's deal with it now and let's build a foundation on reality rather than mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Myth and saga have their places, but somebody's going to find those skeletons no matter what. So let's deal with it now. And Community of Christ embraced that about 40 years ago when the new Mormon history was really prominent. Kind of said, let's go ahead and deal with this. So Richard Howard, the church historian at the time, wrote a paper on Joseph Smith's polygamy, 1983. Caused a lot of problems in the church because it discounted what Joseph Smith III had been saying.
Right.
But and a lot of folks were saying, well, all those documents are all out in Salt Lake, so they had to be created by Brigham Young and his ilk. And that's, well, sorry, folks, that isn't really the case. Let's deal with it. And that was one of the things I had difficulty with, changing denominations. I had no problem with Joseph Smith being a polygamist. That's how I grew up.
Right.
You know, and it's like, so what?
Yeah.
You know, so what?
But that was a big deal in the RLDS church.
But it was a big deal then in the RLDS church still. Yeah. And I, you know, folks were saying, "Well, but you surely you can't believe that." And I said, well, "Why does it matter? This is 100 and some years after the fact. Who cares?" But you know, and now there's so much polygamy stuff going on in the church history circles. It's like, can we please move on? let's find something else to talk about. So that's that first decade and a half that Joseph Smith's president of the church. Well, he wasn't even president of the church in the beginning, that kind of, but we'll just call it that.
Yeah.
So 1844, he's killed. And I contend that the original church ceased to exist.
Okay.
And you had original, you know, 1.1. which was nominally led by Brigham Young and Sidney Rigdon both for a few weeks in the summer of 1844.
Right.
Neither one of those men could come to grips with the role for the other. Brigham Young's argument that, you know, the 12 could function as a second presidency, I think, is a reasonable argument. Sidney Rigdon's argument was, I'm a counselor in the first presidency, I'm not gone.
And he was the only one left.
And he was the only one left. And, you know, that's a legitimate argument, too, frankly. And they had their meeting in the conference in August of 1844, and the folks voted to sustain the 12 in their role, not to sustain Brigham Young as president, and not to reject Sidney Rigdon. Brigham said, yes, you're a counselor in the presidency, so you will be a counselor in the presidency of the 12. It's a very legitimate way of looking at it, I think. Rigdon said, no, that the first presidency is above the 12. And they never could come to grips. So within a month or so after that August meeting, they excommunicate each other. Rigdon proceeds with reorganizing the first presidency, Council of 12, on his own. Brigham continues.
Out in Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, he'd come to Nauvoo, but you know, he'd been moved to Pittsburgh by Joseph to be in charge of the work there. And then it looked better politically to have a vice presidential candidate from a different state, even though there was no law that required it. We do that today in our presidential, you know. How do I get the vote of the South? Well, I pick somebody as my vice presidential running mate from that area. They do it all the time. So he reorganizes at Pittsburgh as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I mean, that was the name of the church by that point in time. By spring of 45, they decide to go back to the original name, Church of Christ. Brigham continues as the nominal leader of the church, as president of the 12. And he has 8 other members of the 12 that are in full support of him. And those 9 men, Brigham and the other 8, were the ones who were all together in England on the mission. So what kind of a conspiracy had they cooked up?
Now, they weren't in England. He was in Massachusetts, wasn't he?
Who?
Brigham Young.
No, they went on the mission to England you church historian folks, help me with the... Was it 1838?
Oh, so you're not talking about when Joseph was killed?
No. I'm talking before Joseph was killed.
Oh, okay.
So there were 9 of the 12 apostles together in England with Brigham Young and the other 8.
Okay.
So I think conspiracy theorists ought to have fun with that. They had cooked up something. I'm teasing. 3 of the 12 were not supportive of Brigham Young and the others. Lyman White, William B. Smith, and John Page. Lyman White had been up in Wisconsin cutting pine trees. He'd been given a mission to go to Texas, and he fulfilled that. William B. Smith was, what should we call him? The never and not even future prophet. The once and future king metaphor, maybe. He didn't have it. And he tried once. He was still a member of the 12, and then Brigham Young made him patriarch to the church, not over the church, as William's father had been. That wasn't happening. And over the next probably 10, 15 years, William Smith was involved in or tried on his own to organize 7 or 8 different times with a few of the same players and sometimes different players. And at one time he was being promoted as the patriarch. One time he was being promoted as the president and prophet. Other times he was being promoted as just the guardian until Joseph III was old enough. And even Joseph III, when the time came, didn't know what to do with his uncle. You got to love your family because that's what you're given. You can't choose them. And he just, you know, William Smith eventually just lived as an elder the rest of his life. And
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Steve Shields. In our next conversation, we'll talk about some conspiracy theories in the early church. Is it true that Samuel Smith was poisoned? I've heard some people say that Samuel might have been poisoned. Have you ever heard that?
There is that theory that is floating around. Yeah, I've heard that theory.
What are your thoughts on that?
Conspiracy theorists, okay, fine.
I hope you enjoyed that short clip from our next interview. If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please go to our patreon.com/gospeltangents and subscribe for just $5 a month. If you'd like a transcript of this, please click the yellow subscribe button at gospeltangents.com, and I'll send you this and all future transcripts. Also, if you'd like a paperback like we've got here, those are available at our website at amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents. Please get all updates at our Facebook page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter at Gospel Tangents. You can also get transcripts individually at our website, gospeltangents.com/shop. Finally, make sure that you subscribe on our Apple Podcast page. Just do a quick search for Gospel Tangents there and give us a 5-star review while you're at it. Thanks again for listening. Your support helps create more Mormon history classes and podcasts such as this, and so I really appreciate you listening. Please share with your friends. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our great videos. Thanks again.